Perek Beis Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos, Hu Haya Omer, that he used to say, Marbe Basar Marbe Rima. The more flesh, the more worms. We'll get back to that. Marbe Nechasim Marbe Daaga. The more possessions, the more worry. Marbe Nashim Marbe Kshafim. The more wives, the more witchcraft. Marbe Shvachos, Marbe Zima. The more maidservants, the more lewdness. Marbe Avadim, Marbe Gazel. Concludes the negative part of this Mishnah, that the more manservants you have, the more Gazel, the more robbery, the more thievery one will experience. There's a lot to discuss, even on the first half of this Mishnah, which gives us the negative slant of having too much of something. We all know the expression, too much of anything is not good. Certainly that's the case in the beginning of the Mishnah. We'll see if that also holds true in the latter part of the Mishnah. Let's begin by looking at the words of the Bartanura. The Bartanura, who tells us, what does it mean, Marba Basar, Marba Rima? Literally, the more flesh, the more worms. He takes it for the value that one would imagine. That Hamarba Bachila Vishtiya, a person who is a glutton, that eats and drinks excessively, Ad Shanasa, Shamino Babasar, until you become morbidly obese, Marble of Arima Bekever. The more worms one will unfortunately experience after 120 years. Because Arima Lames Kamechet Babasar Chai. Not the most enjoyable expression, but nonetheless translated, just as painful is a needle that is pierced into the flesh of a human being while they're alive, is a maggot that goes through a corpse, a body after they have since passed away. Now, what exactly does this mean? Does this mean that we actually feel physical pain? Well, that we'll explain in a moment. But before we do so, I'd like to just conclude this Bartanura. For Kamashmul and Haitana, that the Tan of our Mishnah is telling us, Shikol Ribuyin Kashmul Adam. Too much of anything, in excess, overdoing it, overindulging is not good. Chutz with the exceptions, Meribu Taira, the Chachma of Tzedakah. Increasing in one's kindness, in one's wisdom, and Torah study. Now, the Tosfos Yom Tov does explain what exactly this means, this expression actually borrowed from Gemara in Brachos, of Kasharim Lames Kamechet Basar Chai. And he says, Lo Shekaimu Bazeh Hahar Gashel Lames. It's not that there is any feeling that a person who has passed away actually feels. There's no physical pain that they can actually experience after they have died. She'en sar la mace ba'azma. A person who would cut a mace will not receive any physical pain. But what the Tana explains that Tosfos Yom Tov is trying to explain to us and to teach us is that Amru Klapi HaNefesh, the pain that the mace experiences is not a physical one, but rather it's more of a spiritual feeling of loss to that neshama, to that nefesh. Shemitzta'aretz ma'od, because it's in tremendous pain and anguish. Bra'asa b'nivulo shel guf, to look at how disgusting their body is. In other words, not that we will feel the pain because we didn't go on the treadmill or go to that spinning class down the block. But the significance of this is the pain of the spiritual, eternal neshama that realizes that you wasted your life. that you wasted and squandered an opportunity by pursuing your physical desires and ignoring ruchnius, your spiritual ones. It's possible that we can understand this concept of pursuing one's physical desires as the true definition of marba basar, marba rima. It's brought down in Parshas Maaseh by Rabbi Yitzchak of Vorka, the pasuk that says, with regard to the travelings of the Jewish people while they were in the wilderness, "Vayisu mikibros ataiva, vayachnu b'chatzeros," that the Jewish people had sojourned, that they traveled from this place, Kibros HaTaiva, and they encamped in Chatzeros. Explains Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, this is also telling us more than just a place. Kibros HaTaiva literally means the burial of one's taiva, physical desires. And he explains that Vayachnu B'Chatzeros, that is our role and responsibility as Jews, to dwell and to encamp permanently in a chatzar, in this world, in this courtyard, and to be able to utilize it to the best of our ability. That we should not waste our time in taivos, but rather mekivros ataiva. We should destroy them. We should bury them. And have the proper perspective of what we're supposed to be doing in life to connect ourselves to spirituality and to elevate ourselves in ruchnius. Another interpretation of a rima could be more than a bug, a maggot, or a worm. Lavan, as we find in Sefer Bereishis, is called a ramai. A ramai does not just mean that he came from this particular location. A ramai means that he deceived, that he tricked people. He fooled others. And possibly, we can be just like Lavan. Not that we are a rima, that we are a ramai, that we trick others. But possibly, we may even be deceiving and fooling ourselves. By being marbe basar is marba rima. A person who thinks that by connecting to the physical world that they will enjoy and have a better life, they're really marba rima, marba ramai. It's just a form of fooling, of deception, of trickery, of one's own self. It's possible that we can further understand this concept in the following manner. That according to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Yonah, he interprets this part of the Mishnah of Marbe Basar, Marbe Rima, of Ha'adam Choshev, that a person may possibly think, Ki al yedei hatanug v'ha'idun, that through pleasure and through seeking all the physical enjoyments of this world, Chaim Yosef, that you will be actually enjoying and tacking on and increasing one's quality of life. Ki yanhig atzmo al pi hateva, by attaching yourself to these physical matters. However, tells the Rabbeinu Yonah, ve'ein shilton biyom hamaves, it will not in any way benefit you when it comes to your ultimate day. Lo ezer v'lo l'hoel yelo habasar ahu. It will provide no benefit to you whatsoever. Ki l'boshes v'gam l'mirma. Rather, it will only cause humiliation and absolute disappointment in the way that you did not utilize your life constructively as you could have. The next part of the Mishnah tells us Marba nechasim, marba daiga. Literally, a person who increases their possessions will only be marba daiga, will only increase their worries. Their stress level will go up. Explains the Bartanura that a person maybe who has so many things so many possessions. Why are they so worried? Shema Yigazluhu. Possibly it may get stolen. Oh, or says the Bartanura, Shemi Yavoa of Listim Viharguhu. Maybe bandits will come and they'll murder you. So the advantage, of course, of having nothing is that you know that there is nothing that anyone's going to want to steal. And therefore, what worries do you have? What stresses are on your mind? You'll be able to sleep, literally, like a baby. The Mishnah then continues and says, Marbe Nashim Marbe Kshafim. Interestingly enough, as it's translated, the more wives, the more witchcraft. Now, what exactly is going on at this stage of this Mishnah? So on this, the Bartanura helps us out and tells us that these are all a result of the preceding steps. And he says as follows, Sidra Nakid V'Ozil, B'tchila initially, Adam Mekashet Atzmo, V'Ochel V'Shoseh Mar B'Basar. Initially, a person gravitates toward wanting to eat and to try to indulge in all their physical desires. V'Achakach, after a person has enjoyed food, like you give to a little baby, to a little candy, to them that's the ultimate of pleasure. V'Achakach, later on, says the Bartanura, Mevakesh Harbos Nechasim. A person starts wanting to increase the amount of digits found in their savings account. They want to start building up their assets and buying things and having ownership over many, many properties. After a person has so much, and he thinks, now I have the ability to have many wives because I'm so rich. That's precisely what he does. And after, says the Bartanura, you have many wives. Each one of them is going to need their own maidservant in order that they will be able to tend to their responsibilities. And therefore the Mishnah then says, this case of Marbe Shvachos, that you will need more maidservants. The Kivan Sheishlo B'nei Bayis, Merubin Sarach L'Sados L'Kuramim, L'Sapeg Yainu Mazlin L'Bnei Beiso, U'Marbe Avadim L'Avados Sados V'Kuramim, L'Kachin Shinuyim B'Seder Zeh. Now that you have all these possessions, who is going to be able to work at all these different stores that you own? Who's going to be able to take care of your fields, your vineyards? So therefore you're going to need more avadim, more slaves. And therefore this is almost like a domino effect, in that the more that you have, you're then going to acquire more things, and then in turn, since you now have more, you're going to hire more people to be able to tend for those things as well. It'll be a never-ending thing for you. Then the Mishnah tells us that Marba Shvachlis Marba Zima is Marba Vadim Marba Gazel. That the more slaves, servants that you have, Marba Gazel, then the more thieves you'll end up having as well. It's brought down a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi explains why, just because you have more slaves, more avadim, why does that necessarily mean marbe gazel, that you'll have more theft in your house, more robbery? Says Rashi, shigozlim es acherim, distam avadim gazlanim, that when it comes to these avadim, more than likely they will end up being thieves. After all, stam avadim gazlanim. Your typical slave, your typical eved, is in fact a gazlan, is a thief. And in fact, It was unfortunate that not too long ago, my 9-year-old daughter, Malka, who saved every single penny for her entire life, she wanted to make sure that no one would take it. So she took her $100 in pennies and nickels and dollar bills all crumpled up, and she put it in this huge boot, this rain boot. And she would not want anyone in the world to see it. And therefore, she went up to one of our maids that we had, stressing the word had, and she said, "Look, this is where I'm keeping my money, because I don't want my sisters to get it." Unfortunately, it became disappeared. It was gone. Obviously, it was our ex-maid. Hence the expression, Stam avadim gazlanim. Marbe avadim, marbe gazel. And unfortunately for a little child, that's what she had to experience and to learn firsthand. It's brought down by Rav Yosef Ibn Nachmias, a very fascinating explanation as to why marbe avadim marbe gazel. He says that there are many people that live lifestyles which are well above their financial means. In other words, they only make X, but for some reason, they spend a whole lot more than that. They end up, because they need to look like they're wealthy, living in the community that they do, they end up needing to cut corners, maybe cheating on their taxes, ultimately stealing. And therefore he explains, Marba Avadim Marba Gazel, is that if you hire too many servants, in order that you will be able to show the world that you are so wealthy, but you really can't afford them, then Marba Gazel doesn't mean that they'll steal, but it means you'll end up being a Goslin. You'll end up being a crook in order to keep up this very, very difficult standard of living. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah explains, going back to the idea of Marb Nechasim, Marb Da'aga, that one who has so many possessions, all it is more stress and nothing better than that. He says, Al Yachshov, do not think, Ki Al Oshro from Nechasov, that because you'll be wealthy and quite affluent, that Yivale Yemosav Batuv Ushnosav, that it will be swallowed up all those great years in your years and the days that you'll have, Beneimim V'hudoigalehim Kol Shana Kula. Instead of you enjoying those years, you're going to be living a stressful life to the point that it will affect you in a very, very negative fashion. Now, I should point out that according to the Tiferes Yisrael, that when he explains Marba Nechasim, Marba Daga, he says also it's a specific order of how things happen. And we're going to point this out in greater detail as we continue on today. But the Tiferes Yisrael says that the first thing a person does is that they go after and chase their physical desires. Food, drink, marbe nechasim. They want to become, first, enjoy their food, be marbe basar, then marbe nechasim, pursuing after food and drink. And then when they get a little bit older, their taivas change. One's desires are completely different. They chase after money, after power. And in fact, once I remember seeing a bumper sticker that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But this is an unfortunate reality, that one person who has $100 will not be satiated, will not be happy with it. They'll wish for 200. Oyev kesef lo yispo kesef. Never will you be satisfied, a person who loves money. Once you have a little bit, you wish that you had more, and there'll be no end to this matter. other hand, the Mishnah continues and tells us a positive slant, that sometimes increasing could be a good thing. For example, Mar betorah, mar b'chayim. The more Torah, the more life. Mar b'yeshiva, mar b'chochma. The more study, the more wisdom. Mar b'etza, mar b'tivuna. The more counsel, the more understanding. Mar b'tzedakah, mar b'shalom. One who gives charity, the more charity, the more peace. And then the Mishnah concludes, which is really a third part, Kana Shem Tov Kana L'Atzmo Kana Lo Divrei Torah Kana Lo Chayolam Hab. That one who gained himself Torah knowledge has gained himself the life of the world to come. As opposed to what it said previous, that one who has gained a good reputation has gained it for his own benefit. Now what does this mean, Mar b'Torah, Mar b'Chayim, that you have more life? So the Bartanur explains, after all, the Pasuk promises us. The Pasuk says, Ki hi chayecha, varech yamecha, that a person who is engaged in Torah, it's not a suffocating, something which you cannot perform and do things that you want to do, but rather it gives you real life. It gives you a sense of belonging. Says the Bartanura, Marba Yeshiva means Harbi Talmidim. When you have many students, Miskansin Uboyim Lishmo Savara, that they come to listen, they listen to your Torah, to your words. We shift now to page 4 in our packet. We now see one more idea of the negativity of the Tiferes Yisrael that we touched upon before. He says, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, Gam ki hashvachos mizanos imacherim, hadavar alav ki iluhu bi'atzmo mizani imahen. A person that brings maidservants, it says there'll be more lewdness. And you are responsible for that. Because you brought this toeva, this abomination to your home, therefore you're responsible for it. When a person has many wives, Gorim lehem shetasenek shafim. Why, says Rabbeinu Yonah, will there be witchcraft? Laharbos bi'ahava, because they want to be able to have love between you and themselves. And this is the reason why the Rabbeinu Gershom, who lived from 960 to 1040, that he made a ban on polygamy. Perhaps for this very reason, that the co-wives otherwise would develop such negative midos due to their relationship. And therefore, such an unhealthy relationship, that's not a situation that the Rabbeinu Gershom felt comfortable allowing. And therefore, he did away with polygamy, with a man marrying more than one wife. Now, as we said in Tiferes Yisrael, the next stage of life is the physical desires. Accumulation of money is great only up to a certain point. But when a person is already living in Delray Beach in Florida at Kings Point, what difference does it really make if you have $4 million in your account or $5 million? You're still living in the same two-bedroom apartment and you're still attending the same shows and you're still playing the same cards. What really sets you apart? And the answer is kavod and power. And therefore, this is the idea of why the Mishnah, after Nechassim, it talks about a person who has a vadim and shvachais. Because how powerful you look. You seem like a great, very strong, influential individual. That you have so many servants. And therefore, by doing this, you're chasing after your kavod. You're chasing after your honor. Now, according to the Darash Leprakim, he explains the idea of zima, of lewdness, is not the man who has these wives, or these maidservants, rather, these shvachais. Rather, it's referring to his wife, that if she has so many helpers, so many people, that anything that she needs, she just snaps her finger and it gets done, then she doesn't have to do anything herself. No cooking, no cleaning, no working, nothing. So what will happen if this woman has too much free time on her hand? Marbazima. It'll lead to unfortunate, terrible things. Halvai, the worst thing you could say, you can imagine. The best scenario is that they shop. But very often, you can imagine that if you have nothing to do, you will fill that vacuum, that void, with something which is very much against Torah philosophy. So explains the Dober Leprakim. But let's get back to a more of a positive discussion. The second half of the Mishnah. The Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, what does it mean, Mar b'Torah is Mar b'Chayim? That when there's more Torah, there's more life. The Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, Zeh hadavar kenegin mashamar. This is opposite what is said in the beginning of the Mishnah, of Mar b'Bas and Mar b'Rima. She'al yedei ha-tainug, that when a person is only chasing after their physical desires, yiskatsu yomav, your days are literally shortened. If you're constantly focused on trying the next addiction, then you will be completely consumed by that addiction, that physical desire, and you will not be able to truly live and do what you really know that you should and want to do. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, al yedei amal haTorah, one who is engaged in toiling and Torah study, yarichun yomav, then they will have a length of days. V'gam kein hu kenegin mar b'nechas mar b'daaga. He says it's also opposite the person who's constantly chasing after wealth and he's stressed. Ki da'agas ha'nechasim mikatzeres shenosav. Because as we know, stress can literally shorten a person's life. V'da'agas ha'torah, on the other hand, one who is thinking about Torah, af ki hi da'aga gedola, even though it's a tremendous strain, to think what the halacha is. Is it mutter? Is it asur? Is it patur? Chayiv? Much to think about. Nonetheless, promises Rabbeinu Yonah, ein yochelos ladaga hi lasos ra. When it comes to that worrying, that's not a worrying which will ever lead to anything negative. Even though we said, Hayogun choli halev, hadaga kolios halev, ach doeg b'Torah, orech yomim mishnos chayim, b'sholom yosifu lo. Even though Chazal do tell us that stress and worrying is very unhealthy physically for the body, but when it comes to doeg b'Torah, that's something in which a person will increase their life and increase shalom, peace, inner peace, within themselves. The Alzeh Omer Shlomo HaMelech, and on this, Shlomo, with great wisdom, said, in Mishle, in Proverbs, Yiras Hashem Tosef Yomim Ushanois Rishayim Tiksarno. Now when it comes to one who fears God, their days will be increased. But when it comes to the Russia, their years will be shortened, will be decreased dramatically. The Rabbeinu Yonah continues and says, Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chochma. What does this mean? The Rabbeinu Yonah says that Chachmas HaSvar BaPilpul, with regard to thinking in depth, She'ali Dezeh Hu Marbi Yeshiva, by doing so one will increase the yeshiva of one's dwelling and sitting and study and thought. Because when you are a person who comes up with very articulate, beautiful concepts, then many students will come to listen to them, and to become sharpened through your Torah, through your wisdom. To learn these new ideas from you. For Rabbeinu Yonah then says, "For Ratzel Lomar, Shenostim Lo Schar Keneged Kulam, Ki Hu Hagorim, Vezeh Dover Keneged Mashnemar, Mar B'Shvachos Mar B'Rima, Sheyesh Osim Acherim V'Orim Ki Ilu Asahu Lo Harol Lehitiv." As we mentioned, that by you having Shvachos and causing lewdness in your house, you are held at a negative level responsible for those actions. So too in a positive way, that a person who is a positive influence on others, that they come and learn from you the positive ways of living, then in fact, lehetiv, for the good, you will have influenced others. The Rabbeinu Yonah then explains, mar b'sadaka, mar b'shalom, that a person who gives charity, al yedei shenehenim imamono, uhavimoso, mar b'shalom b'olam, by helping other people, in turn, you're mar b'shalom, because you're now allowing people to be able to function, and they'll be happy. Now they'll be able to live peaceful lives because they'll be able to put bread on the table thanks to you. The Gaman also says to Rabbeinu Yonah, Ki nosen eitzel acherim laso sadaka, because by you giving charity and being philanthropic, it causes others to wish to give charity as well. Nachshavu ki'ilu hu asa, and therefore it's as though you gave it, because you are an inspiration to give, causing other people to want to give, so therefore you also are part of that. And therefore people will love you for this as well. This is opposite what it says, Marba Avadim, Marba Gazel. The last statement, the negative statement, that one who has many slaves, there will be much to be stolen. That when it comes to you being stingy, people are going to want to steal. And it's not going to increase peace. But by you giving and being charitable, which will in turn cause people to want to give, people are going to love you. They'll never want to steal from you. And this finally is the explanation of the final stage, as the Tiferes Yisrael says, that the avadim do not necessarily mean slaves, but it could be a nurse that is by your side. And when you're older, or in a convalescent home, or maybe in hospice, you may have people that are taking care of your possessions, taking care of your properties. All the things that you accumulated in your life, you no longer have any control over them. But it's very possible that they may end up trying to steal it away from you. They may very well try to have you sign away on a piece of paper, a will giving away your property. Now that you can no longer watch and you're no longer in control over the things that you have, now they're in control over all of your possessions. Ultimately, Marbur Gazel, they're not going to treat it as well as you did. Easily, it may be stolen. The Mishnah over here concludes and says that a kana shem tov kana atzmo, kana lo divrei Torah, kana lo chai ha'olam haba. Tosus Yom Tov explains, what does it mean that you acquire for your own benefit one who has gained a good reputation? V'hanasu b'olam hazeh. It means in this world. V'li nira lefarish explains the Tosas Yom Tov. I understand this. She'inyano shikana atzmoso. That you have acquired yourself. Meaning, a person who has gained a good reputation, when the Mishnah says kanal atzmo, it means that you are now in complete control over your life. And you have reached and acquired your essence. Kana atzmoso. That you have reached your potential. And therefore, this is the true litmus test of reaching your potential. As we know the famous story of Rav Zushi, who was on his deathbed, and he was crying, and his student said, "Why are you crying? Are you crying because you're not as great as Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu?" "No, no." So they said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I'm afraid that after 120 years, when I pass on, and when I stand by my Yom HaDin, they're going to ask me, Rav Zushia, why weren't you Rav Zushi? Why weren't you your potential?" To worry about other people, it's foolish. Because we all have different skills, different attributes, different things to contribute to society, to this world. But the true litmus test is, as the Tosas Yom Tov says, la'atzmo, to be kon atzmoso, to have acquired yourself, to have truly reached your potential, your level of greatness. The Rabbeinu Yonah explains this further and says, Ki Hashem tov l'atzmahu, that when a person acquires a good name, it's for themselves. Lo yanichenu l'acherim, it's not for others. Hefach min hamar ben chasen, which is the opposite of acquiring possessions. Ki b'moso yazvein v'yelech b'lochem d'reikum ehem. You will no longer have any more connection to any of those things. They will be completely worthless. They will have no connection to you whatsoever. It's a famous story about the Reichman when he passed away, a very, very wealthy man. And in his will, he said that I want to be buried with my socks. And people didn't understand this. Chevra Kedisha, after all, you're buried with your tachrichim and nothing else. With the shrouds. And they asked the Shaila, and this was, after all, a very powerful man. They couldn't figure out what to do. So they decided, upon listening to this psak of their rabbi, that in fact he could not be buried with socks. The hespit, the kfura, is buried without the socks. And then there was a second document that was to be opened up later and to be read. And that document said, you see, no matter how much wealth you have, you can't even take your socks with you. See, Mr. Reichman knew that the answer was going to be no. But he was trying to teach a profound lesson. And that lesson is that even though you may have tremendous nechasim, the truth is that's not something which you can take with you. That's not something which will last. But a good name, that is something which will endure. In fact, it's appropriate for me to quote from Shakespeare's Othello about the idea of what a good name really is. A good name in man and woman is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, nothing 'twas mine. 'Tis his and has been slaved to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of which enriches him not, and makes me poor indeed. So important is the idea of acquiring, of being kana, a shem tov, of acquiring a good name.